You're like, eh.
Well, let's start.
Yeah. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children.
Well, the overseas
or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
How we get to that?
Did you sign the waiver?
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
We're the Deadpool of podcasting.
You're listening to
we
the
are.
Guardians of the Geekery podcast. Featuring Matt Starnslord.
Hello!
Carol the Cat.
Woo!
The Giddy Geek.
Oh, hi, hi. Wait! We switched.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, not subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geek.
Bum, bum, bum. Episode 66. If there's one more six, it would be the mark of the devil, but it's not, so we are godly.
What's going to happen when we get to 666 podcasts?
Oh,
are we going to use that number?
We're gonna do
the earth will melt. It will burn in hellfire.
I thought you were going to ask what happens when we get to 69.
Oh, no. I know what happened was 69.
Yeah.
We're going to actually be at Mystica.
Up high? Yeah.
No,
oh, that was
down
horrible.
Low.
Oh,
yeah, we high fived on the podcast.
Maybe we should have watched Deadpool for the second time.
I have now officially watched Deadpool more times than I've seen Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
You're
a weird woman.
Me. Yeah.
Yes.
What? I saw Deadpool also.
Oh, cool.
And
I really liked it.
Let's just jump right into that.
Deadpool,
great fucking movie.
Oh my god.
That's it.
I have to say, it's one of those movies where I was a little concerned walking in the second time because I loved it so much the first time. And I will say that the experience the second time was different.
Yeah.
Because the crowd the first time, the first time we saw it was an advanced screening, so it was packed out.
Mostly geeks,
yeah. Mostly people absolutely stoked to see it. And the whole room was just, the laughter was so contagious. The second time, I kind of felt like I was pushing the laughter to start.
Yeah.
Because people weren't catching the stuff that I knew was coming. You know, I had that pre-ejaculation laugh going on. Like, I know what's next! So,
that's what was on my jeans. Yeah, I thought it was me. Yeah.
But
it
was the popcorn butter, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, parquet.
Okay. Oh, it was nacho cheese, baby. I like it.
Too much info.
But people really started to start laughing in all the right places. And I actually enjoyed a little quieter theater because I missed a lot of the jokes that we were laughing over the first time.
Yeah.
The thing with the pacing of Deadpool is that the jokes just are bam, 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 bam. So,
how's that go?
Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah. Much like the comic book.
Yeah. So, definitely enjoyed hearing some of them the second time and also kind of walking away as somebody who didn't read the comics, having been educated over the week and then being able to come back and be seeing all the stuff I missed the first time. So, I didn't realize that Blind Al was Leslie Uggams. Didn't realize it until afterwards. And I was
I saw her in the credits. So, I was like, that's who that was. Because I was trying,
yeah.
I know who that is. Who the hell is that?
Yeah. And it was like, I'm like, that's not Nichelle Nichols. She's frailer than that now. And that is not Pam Grier. She's hotter than that.
So, no offense, Leslie.
And it made a few dollars.
Oh my gosh.
Quite a few.
Broke every record, I think, for an R-rated movie release.
Yeah, I believe so. R-rated movie, four-day President's Day weekend movie.
First-time director
movie. Everything.
It beat the Grey movie.
Tiffany, jump in because you've seen it.
I would say I really liked it. I have not read any of the comics. I did not get an education over the weekend about any of it. But, I laughed pretty consistently. I felt, I didn't feel like out of the loop, really. I mean, maybe there was a couple inside things that, I would have. But I'm, very naughty in my sense of humor. So, love that at the end when she's like, I love that fit. Somebody
spoiler.
Says something. Somebody says something about someone's face and says it's a face. After a few hours, I could find
a few drinks and
see myself sitting on. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
But there were people with little kids there. And I'm like,
oh my god, people. There's an R for a reason.
And it's a hard R.
It's a hard R. It's like,
there's no let up of that movie being naughty.
And it's not like, hide your eyes. No, you have to like Tommy them, deaf, dumb, and blind them. There's no point to taking your children to this movie.
Beyond the fact that it's an R, which is just normally not something you take a child to, I mean, there's a scene where he's getting like fucked in the ass.
Yes.
With a dildo, like, I mean, you don't see it, but like,
yes,
I mean, it's taking it a step above and beyond what's typically just in an R-rated movie. So,
yeah, I had a friend of mine, and she was like, "So I've got my 11-year-old son really wants to see it, and he plays Grand Theft Auto. I don't play that, but I know it's pretty." And I said, "Well, it's not so much the violence, because I understand the video game violence and everything. It's the graphic sex, I would say.
I wouldn't call it graphic sex.
No, because actually, you don't. Well, you do in the bar, but you don't see anything with
the actual couple, Daredevil and
Moran. Oh, wow. Vanessa.
Graphic sexual situations. Yeah, any R-rated movie I've seen in a while.
Yeah, and you do have to kind of know what they're talking about to know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I had a friend say, "Well, can I take my 15-year-old son?" I'm like, "Are you comfortable with him watching Doggy Style? Because you're gonna get that
and going down with vampire teeth."
Yeah, so it's and at that point,
I mean,
like,
I think
maybe
even
not.
If you don't know what exactly something is. I think there's a general vibe, like, I say this all the time, like, I used to go to the movies every weekend with my dad, and he would take me to R-rated movies, like, well before, and it was always just this sort of, like, promise, like, you can't repeat any of the things you see to your friends, that kind of thing, and I handled it well, I was mature about it, however, I can remember us going to see Exit to Eden when I was quite young. And, you know, my dad's like, "Oh, Rosie O'Donnell, Dan Aykroyd, this is going to be a comedy." And essentially it was, but it was about, like, S&M and stuff. And I really didn't understand that.
The book is so much better than that movie
ever book sucks.
My dad and I were both so incredibly uncomfortable.
I bet.
Like, it took it to my father. You know, like, like you said, there's violence. There's something being rated R because it's violent, and there's something being rated R because it's sexual in nature. And, you know, I didn't want to see people getting whipped and chained up in front of my dad, and my dad didn't want to see that with me. So
oddly enough,
good call.
I think people would be fine with taking the kids to this movie for the violence, because the violence is over the top and it's played for laughs. Even the sexual scenes are played for laughs.
They are.
For the most part. But at the same time, it's like, because I, like you, I have brothers and sisters that are significantly older than me and that were my primary caregivers. So I saw movies that I should not have seen at a young age. But they never took me to the sexual ones. It was always The Exorcist and Jaws and the things that were going to scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, my brothers always took me to the Chuck Norris and the martial arts kind of violence.
Yeah.
But then there was always the gratuitous sex scene in there where it's like, oh, the guys break up the bar and then they pick up a girl and throw her titties and all onto the bar. And it's like, you know, it was that kind
of
stuff.
What's the name of that movie again?
Any Chuck Norris.
Netflix.
Just look for anything done by Canon Film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, rest I just, for this one, I mean, parents, if you have a teenager, see the movie first and then see if you're comfortable sitting there next to your teenager with these scenes going on. And chances are you're probably
not. A teenager wants to see this movie with their friends, not with their parents.
And that's
first,
the thing.
The thing to know, in the first 90 seconds of the film, you see a man with his head in Deadpool's crotch, and you see a decapitation.
And a pretty graphic gunshot wound.
Pretty graphic gunshot wound, and somebody being burned with a cigarette lighter and being forced to swallow it.
And if you still aren't sure, go on IMDb, and there is a parental advisory thing, and it goes through and lists
everything that's
horrible. That why your kid under 17 should
plus I mean really film, do you so. Want to subject them to Juice Newton?
Do you really?
Just call me
Angel.
Oh my god.
Angel. And if you missed our we can't pay for that. All right. If you missed our movie review podcast, it's only 11 minutes. It's Deadpool, Eddie the Eagle. Hail Caesar. Wow, that one's already faded in the background, hasn't it?
It's interesting. Have you seen the recuts of Eddie of the Eagles trailer? Yeah,
are they playing?
They take pictures of Taron Egerton from Kingsman and put that in there. They take pictures of Hugh Jackman from other films and put it in there. It's like, you know him from this. You know him from this. You know the director from this. Now,
here's a completely different movie.
You're
actually right. I didn't notice that, but now that you mentioned that, I saw it played the trailer at the Deadpool.
They recut the trailer.
It was like, this is Taron Egerton from The Kingsman, the director from The Kingsman.
He's that cute guy, and he didn't look cute here, but come.
He is a hot piece.
He's cute.
Not in that, though.
Yeah. No, not in that.
Well, cool.
So that was Deadpool.
So, all right.
I just have a side comment to make because it makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
So the fact that they had to show Taron Egerton as the cute boy from from Kingsman reminds me of the old days when they had to show that Sean Cassidy had range. So they did that picture where he was mentally handicapped.
Yeah.
To show he had range, but it's like they, and then they had to be like, you loved him as this Tiger Beats Sean Cassidy in a movie.
Yeah.
So anyway,
speaking of actors who played mentally handicapped people in their first film roles and then going on for greater things, I saw The Revenant.
Oh wow!
Had you seen that already?
No, I hadn't.
Oh, I thought you had saw that a while ago.
I didn't. So Leonardo DiCaprio, incidentally, got his start on What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and he's actually excellent in
Gilbert!
He's really good in that
He was fantastic.
So was Johnny Depp.
It did make me think of Taron Egerton, the way he does his lip, reminded me of Leonardo DiCaprio from What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
The Revenant, beautiful, beautiful fucking film. Just, the cinematography is excellent. This is going to win Best Director, hands down, because the long shots, I still don't understand how he did some of those long shots. I really...
Did it not remind you of Tree of Life, though?
It did.
Or, like I said, like a Terrence Malick film.
It really did seem
with
like a Terrence Malick film.
With dream sequence, like seeing her face.
With his wife hovering above him.
Yeah.
That being said, it reminded me of Birdman, because Birdman, if you watch it, it seems like one long take. And this film has some really incredible long takes. I know Leonardo DiCaprio is probably going to win Best Actor for this. Personally, I prefer Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy just blew me away in this film, and... it's unfortunate he's not going to win Best Supporting Actor because they're going to give it to Sylvester Stallone.
Have you seen Creed yet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's... I think we've talked about this already, but, like, I mean, he's good in the film. There's no doubt. And you're excited, even as somebody who didn't see all the Rocky films, like, you're excited for Creed to seek out Rocky because you, like, know that he means something to this universe kind of a thing. And, you know, he packs an emotional punch to some extent, but his performance was nowhere near the lead guys. Never mind in league with the rest of the people nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
I really do think that they're probably going to give it to him for sentimental reasons, and he'll just mumble his way through an acceptance speech when there is at least three people, Mark Ruffalo, Tom Hardy, and another one.
and that other guy.
That deserve it more than
a couple others.
Sorry, other guy.
This guy and that guy. Yeah. They deserve it so much
but
better.
But Mark Ruffalo and Tom Hardy, I think I would... I haven't seen Creed. I haven't. But it's Sylvester Stallone playing Rocky. You've seen that five other times. Seriously.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing with Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, is this the role he should win for? I mean,
no.
Certainly...
I don't think this is the... I think he's fantastic, but you have to understand a good chunk of this movie, he is physically crawling around the ground and not talking. And yes, it looks very painful, and it looks like it's great acting, but...
Nobody does, like, distress better than Leonardo DiCaprio.
No one drools on the ground.
Nobody does, like, ugly, I'm just going to get ugly in this moment. And I don't care that I'm a leading man and I screw supermodels. I'm going to, like, put it all out there.
But I personally thought Tom Hardy was better in this film. But it's a beautiful film.
See, Tom Hardy just read to me, like, some, like, old-time redneck. And I was like, ugh,
and
that's so annoying.
It's annoying.
I'm not saying
he's
not good, but...
But then you have to take into account Tom Hardy's this hot Englishman. And he's playing this scalped, crass Texan. and pulling it off. And incidentally, Domhnall Gleeson is in this, and it seems to be in every freaking movie I see.
Good, though. I actually kind of love him.
I know.
I love his dad, too, though.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I could watch his dad in just about
Did you ever see anything. In Bruges?
Yes.
Is that not one of the funniest movies that is, out there?
Yes. I actually like Colin Farrell in that. And
Colin Farrell's amazing in that. Yeah.
But yeah,
anybody hasn't seen In Bruges?
Yeah. Domhnall Gleeson is in Star Wars: The Force Awakens. He was also in Ex Machina, and he's in this film. And I'm like, oh my god, is that? Yeah, it is. What the hell is he doing in this film? But
I'm so glad. Like, I want him to like do well.
Yeah. So, yeah, I liked The Revenant. I think it'll win. It should win Best Director, but it's going to win a whole bunch of other awards as well. And then a funny thing happened to me on my way to Hail Caesar.
You went to the wrong theater.
See, this is what happens when you're not paying attention
what
to your world.
Was...
I got my ticket.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it was free. And walk in, hand the little ticket girl my ticket, and it was her first time there because I'm watching the manager, teach her how to do things, and she rips it and she goes, number 6 on the left. I'm like, thank you. Get my soda, go to number 6 on the left, sit down. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow, movie's a little late starting. And then the movie starts, and I'm like, oh, good. Okay, here we go. The previews end, and then the movie starts, and I'm like, this is not Hail Caesar.
Because you've seen it already, right?
No.
Oh, I thought you
missed it the first time.
I missed it the first time. It was How to Be Single.
You're like,
So you went to Hail Caesar twice.
Where's George Clooney?
And to the wrong theater
twice.
First time it was the wrong building, wow. Now you went to the wrong...
I don't think I'm supposed to see Hail Caesar.
It's an omen.
Wow.
And the sad part is, when I went to the wrong building, the wrong theater for the preview of Hail Caesar, I'm pretty damn sure they were showing a preview of How to Be Single.
It is your destiny.
So I sat through How to Be Single.
Well, how was it? I actually kind of wanted to see it, but I'm not sure if it's worth it.
This is so not my movie. And I'm sitting there going, they should rename this How to Be Single When You're White and Wealthy and Young in New York. And your boss doesn't give a shit when you walk into work hungover 3.5 hours late. And somehow you don't get fired. And you don't get any STDs when you sleep around with any, bar guy that wants to sleep with you every night. It's just not my movie. I hate Dakota Johnson. I think she's bland as freaking white toast with no butter. I don't care who her parents are. she's bland. She's bland looking, and she's bland acting, and she's the lead in this thing. I liked Alison Brie.
Oh,
she's very
funny. She's
funny.
Yeah.
Cute, too.
Rebel Wilson was Rebel Wilson. And I hate the fact that the cute big chick always plays this drunken, drug popping, dance in the dance floor, larger than. I'm like, can you just give her something else to do, please? Because she's not that bad. And here she again is playing just this loud, obnoxious character.
So how many movies is she away from getting the backlash like that? Like Melissa McCarthy is like, she made her name playing the same type of character, like this loud, rambunctious. And then it started being like, Melissa McCarthy.
All she does is the same thing. I think it's already starting with Rebel Wilson. And that's unfortunate. But it's just the character that she's always playing.
Because nobody wants to see the fat girl as the vulnerable, emotional, hurt.
No, it's got to be the
little
pencil
bird.
The pencil thin skinny chick.
Yeah.
That being said, there was one moment where I laughed out loud. Dakota Johnson, it's at the end of the movie. Dakota Johnson gets in a taxi, and the taxi driver's like, where are you going? And she's like, home. I'm going home. And the music swells. And I'm sitting there thinking, this taxi driver has no idea where you fucking live. And then the taxi driver turns around and goes, I have no idea where you fucking live. And I'm like, okay, movie read my mind. And that was like the only time I laughed out loud.
I've only seen the preview for this, but is this one of those movies, just tell me this, and so this tells me if I'm going to see it or not, where she has a hot-looking best friend that she didn't realize was hot for so long, and now all of a sudden is interested in?
No.
Okay. Okay, good.
No, but, and I will say this for the movie, it doesn't pair everybody up at the end, but it does kind of sort of pair everybody up at the end, with the exception of Rebel Wilson, because she's, a loud and obnoxious person who lives larger than life. But it is what it is.
Okay.
I would wait for Netflix or DVD.
Okay.
Or Rebel Wilson needs a Tommy Boy movie. Because that it was Chris Farley, but they made him this vulnerable guy, and he gets the girl at the end, and you know, but it's not this unimaginative, like, super hot girl that he gets, you know?
Yeah,
and he's sweet in it, and it's like, you know, but it's like, and he can still be funny, and he still got to be Chris Farley, but that was, like, his movie, you know? It was like, they need a movie, like, for that, for Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, where she's just not just, the same like, part.
She's not just
that's
this,
not her fault
you know,
either.
Not one note.
They're casting
exactly.
her for that.
Yeah.
I know Ricky Lake was in Hairspray, but she was also in, was it called Baby?
Cry Baby.
No. Yeah, she was in Cry Baby. But she was also in one that featured her. I believe it was called Baby.
Okay, that one I'm not familiar with. I know.
But she was like, it's not the same. Still David Lynch-esque because it still put her as like the lead. But she was like, the hot guy's hot girlfriend went away, and then she won him, and they were having a great time, and then the hot girl comes back and saying, why are you with the fat girl? And he ends up picking her.
I personally loved Ricky Lake in Hairspray, but it's John Waters, and I love John Waters.
Yeah.
So.
But,
so
you know, it was one of those.
John Waters also. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that with my dad too, and I didn't know what French kissing was.
Oh.
And there's like that scene where it's like, yeah, exactly. And I just remember I was like saying to my dad, like, I'm not looking, Dad.
That's not even like French kissing. That's like licking each other's tongues.
Right. And then I remember like when I got old enough to like be kissing, and I was like, I don't like it like that. Like where it's like crybaby-ish.
Oh, I love Crybaby too.
Baby Cakes.
Ah, okay.
I don't remember that one.
It's an overweight girl spends her Christmas trying to start up a romance with a guy who controls the subway she boards for work each day.
Oh, that's goodness. Not a John Waters film.
And Craig Sheffer was
Rob,
which was the boy.
Sure.
So, but anyway, I mean, like,
she got the cute boy at the end.
Yeah.
But in the title. In her rich dress.
Yeah. So,
that's anyway. Me going to see How to Be Single.
So, well, you needed to know, Carol, right? So now you know.
Like, I'm just not supposed
make
to
more money, movie. Move to New York, get younger.
That's right.
So speaking of movies that have kind of like, you know, from the 90s, Kindergarten Cop 2.
Okay, so
trailer comes out today. So Dolph fucking Lundgren is now all over my screen, okay? Because he's also in a commercial.
For Brain Games.
Yes,
yeah.
Because he actually has an IQ of 160, but because he's this big...
Except he's not. He's like 70 years old, and he's not all that... He's not like Lou Ferrigno, who is still a big man.
Right.
It's obvious Dolph hasn't hit the gym in a while.
Yeah.
So it's he's in.
But
I'm so.
It's kind of like he had to.
Powerful body.
It's kind of like his PR guy says, "Oh, we've got this Kindergarten Cop movie coming out, so we got to make sure that people know who you are again."
They're gonna release this turd in a theater.
Yep.
What?
Does it have Arnold Schwarzenegger in it?
No.
It's Dolph Lundgren.
It's Dolph Lundgren doing Arnold Schwarzenegger. Here's the thing that kills me: it's Bill Bellamy doing the part of the girl. So we switched the girl for the black guy, because that's what we do. We just kind of rotate the minorities around, evidently.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's Dolph Lundgren. It's coming out this year.
Why?
It's it's a 1 hour and 40 minutes of Dolph Lundgren. And, of course, he falls in love with a girl who's much, much, much younger than he is.
Of course.
Is it a rated R?
No. PG-13.
Of course.
I did like Dolph.
He is 58, not
really?
70, just for the
he
record.
He looks older. I'm sorry.
He was born in 1957.
That man looks older.
He was born in Stockholm, Sweden. He's a language teacher, and he was born to an engineer and a language teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's smart, but he's, you know, my thing was like, I'm trapped in this just really powerful body, and I'm like, you're not powerful anymore, Dolph. Really, you're not.
Yeah.
You were in the 80s. When you would break Stallone.
He was in Expendables 2 or 3 or something.
One of them Expendables movies.
Yeah.
He's been working on a fitness book, a sportswear line.
Sure.
The creation and launch of a new Dolph Lundgren brand. A licensing. It's because of you and Dakota Johnson. A licensing media and publishing program and the development of future entertainment media projects.
Doesn't that like every
And he's got a production company called Thor Pictures.
He wishes.
Wow.
And he's developing several projects in which he will produce, star, and or direct. So basically, he's gotten to the point where he has to make his own movies.
He was in a very terrible Punisher film.
Well, but he was also in the two Expendables movies.
I have the not Expendables watched one of
the Expendables.
I haven't watched any one.
The formula for that works and why it works is because they lump in all of the actors from the 80s.
Yeah, it's
and
not
they,
like
they put a, one or two new ones each time. So it gets you hooked in there. But, you know, they have to do that because nobody would watch just Dolph Lundgren or just Stallone anymore or something like that because it's preposterous. But you throw all of them in there and it's like, yeah, they might have a shot at doing this. Whereas Rambo, it would just be him versus everything. It's, yeah, if you get eight guys, sure, that's better.
Yeah. So anyway, crazy, just had to bring that up because that came out today.
Woo! I saw Wolverine, the next Wolverine movie they're going to do an R rating.
They're trying to.
And everybody's
to, yeah.
like, it's because of Deadpool. And I'm like, I don't know. We've had R rated movies before, so.
I think they're trying to make that more violent. And it's not going to.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
It
I mean,
needs
Wolverine's
to be.
A very violent character.
Yeah.
So.
But really, a lot of PG-13 movies that I see today, I'm like, that would have been R.
Yeah.
You know, before that was invented, back when I was seeing movies, because it's like some of them was super violent. I mean, to me,
the first PG-13 movie I think was Red Dawn, the 80s one.
Wow, yeah, I saw that recently.
It was either that or Indiana Jones and the last Indiana Temple. Jones and Temple of Doom.
Hey Siri, what was the what it? Yeah, I'm gonna say it again, Siri.
Premature. You need to switch to the female, Siri.
Hey Siri, what was the first PG-13 movie released?
Hating Breitbart was released January 1st, 2012.
That's not the first.
That is not the first.
Let me ask my female Siri.
Okay, you ask your female Siri.
Dear.
Anybody else gonna
answer? Siri, what was the first PG-13 movie released?
That is not correct.
So that's as far back as Siri goes
technology.
In 2012.
Siri's like, fuck all those movies before 2012.
I was not created then. I cannot figure it out. I cannot search database.
So I think it was either Red Dawn or Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And Indiana Jones got it because, well, children slaves are ripping out hearts.
Oh.
It's always been, you know, okay to take your kids to violent films.
Yes.
I think Wolverine, though, like, you know, I mean, he's a wolf dude, or wolf.
A what?
He's a
wolfy type dude. I've never seen any of the Wolverine movies, by the way. But
Red Dawn was the first PG.
And he's got,
movie.
You know, like the really sharp hands, Edward Silver Scissor Hands ish.
No.
But anyway, But the point is, like, I feel like if you're like that type of person, and I know he's like a good guy, but like it should be sort of horror movie ish in the sense, like,
well, yeah,
it should. I mean, it should be hardcore kind of a thing.
To me, I don't...
Like if you scratch somebody, dude, you're fucking them up. It's
I
not
think
like,
Wolverine is yeah. okay in PG-13 movies, but if you're going to do something like The Punisher, or there was talk of a Lobo film, if anyone's ever read Lobo, it's like Deadpool. You can't do...
I was going to say, that might actually get done now, I would
yeah,
imagine,
because
people be like, oh, we can do that.
We can
yeah.
do Lobo now. but there are comic books out there that should be R. Deadpool obviously was one of them. I don't know if Wolverine falls in that category. I think...
So Marvel did a line for a while called the Max line, and it was the R-rated stuff. And Alias comic book was where Jessica Jones came from. That was a very... That was almost NC-17, a lot of those comics. They were really...
But the Jessica Jones show
and it was
probably
close to that, but yeah.
Close to an R.
Yeah, so it was pretty...
I wouldn't technically let teenagers watch Jessica Jones. And Daredevil, I mean, come on, that car
violence.
Scene.
Have you seen the new Daredevil trailer?
I have not seen the new trailer.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah,
oh,
so it's all about Punisher.
Yeah.
It's all about Punisher. In fact, you would almost think that it's a trailer for Punisher at first, except for the fact that you see Foggy. And what's the girl's name again?
The Night Nurse?
No, the blonde.
Oh God.
See?
She was in... True Blood. Yeah.
Terry or Trish?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of the blonde girl from Jessica Jones.
Yeah. Oh, her sister?
That's Patsy.
Patsy.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
No. Then now goes by Trisha. You're right.
See?
Or Trish, yeah, but she was Patsy.
But, the trailer is incredible, and there are a couple scenes, even though it's only like a two-minute trailer, that come out of this great run of this comic that had a lot of... It was a Punisher comic that had a lot of Daredevil in it. So they're taking it right from this run of Steve Dillon illustrated it, and it's going to be beautiful, I think. So
the thing that blows my mind is, as somebody who's just getting back into comics, and when I first read comics, please forgive me, I only read the ones my mom allowed me to read, which was a lot of Archie and Richie Rich and Wendy the Friendly Ghost and all that kind of stuff. And then also all the Christian comics, like the one about Chuck Colson being in prison and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but those are the ones that I read. So I've only just really, other than The Watchmen, started reading comics. And I know I'm so far behind. But it was interesting to me when I was reading the Gwen Stacy, the first five, because of course Daredevil in that movie, in that comic book, he's a bad guy to her.
Oh, and Spider-Gwen. Yeah.
So I knew where I was going. Y'all just had to come along for the ride.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so, and you know, Punisher was in there too. And so it just kind of blew my mind, because it's like, you're reading these comic books from the point of view of the person that's the star, quote unquote, in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously Punisher's a bad guy to Daredevil.
But he's not technically a bad guy.
And Daredevil's a bad guy to Spider-Gwen, although he's not technically a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But she sees him connected to Kingpin, because there's at one point in the comic books that he defends Kingpin.
Well, he's a DA.
Yeah, so he has to do what he has to do. So, or a public defender.
Not a DA.
Yeah, so, but yeah.
Yeah, and Spider-Gwen's an alternate universe that they've allowed to live after Secret Wars, which is pretty cool. So
but it just kind of blew my mind, the whole thing altogether. So
yeah, and they did a really horrible thing in the late 80s, early 90s with the Punisher, where they gave him mercy bullets to kind of really PG him down. So it was basically like plastic bullets, and they were just, it was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And then they finally were like, no, we're not doing that. Let's make a Punisher again. And they did that.
Punisher is one of those people that can't be really tamed down. Yeah. He's a guy that goes after bad guys and doesn't take them to jail. He kills them.
By the way, like, you know, like in Deadpool, the X-Men guy,
Colossus,
he's all like, this is your moment and everything like that. And it's like, no, I like that Deadpool like murders these fucking people. Like, they're not good people.
Well,
murder them. In the comic books,
Deadpool's a vigil or a mercenary. He's a gun for hire. So, I mean, he'll get paid by bad guys.
And there was a great Wolverine comic book where, in the shared X-Men universe, like one of the origins is Weapon X program creates Deadpool, Wolverine, and a bunch of other folks. So Deadpool is hired to kill Wolverine. And of course he regenerates even faster than Deadpool. But he figures out what he needs to do.
A little hand.
Captures Wolverine, wraps him up in chains so he can't use his claws, and throws him in a swimming pool. And it's this old abandoned place, and that's it. And Wolverine constantly suffocates, drowns, dies, but he can't do anything about it, because by the time he regains, he only has about 2 minutes. He can't do anything because he's bound. And it's like he just keeps dying. And like, it's brilliant. And finally, Winter Soldier actually saves him. But it was because he was looking to kill Deadpool. So this is his whole thing. But it's like, it was like the most logical thing. And I think Deadpool kind of had it too. Like, you put Deadpool in the thing that deprives him of oxygen, he's going to keep dying and he'll be revived, but there's nothing you can do if you're strapped down, if you don't have, like, the Colossus strength or whatever. So, anyway, I think it's pretty interesting. So, how to get around these so-called immortals, but... Woo.
I like the scene with Angel Dust where she has a wardrobe malfunction, and then Colossus pays for it.
So. And the silver bells.
Your poor wife.
Oh, shit. Oh, so, hey, Walking Dead. Holy Walking Dead. Fuck,
I
nuts.
Saw it.
Oh, you're watching it now.
Yeah. I watched it.
Okay, so...
That was a really good episode. It was my second episode. It was the second. It was the best episode I've seen after the two episodes I've ever seen.
We say goodbye to the most useless family on television. Goodbye, Sam and Ron and blonde lady.
I was like, all right,
generic blonde. We all when the zombie started eating that kid, we were all like,
I have to say,
what?
I'm one of the person who read the comic books. They tame that kid's death down.
Oh yeah.
Sam's death in the comic book is actually kind of harrowing, because he actually breaks away from the group and he starts calling for his mom because he starts panicking and freaking out. And he's literally like crying for mommy, 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 and then these zombies eat him. They tamed it down a lot. So like, yes, I think that was the first time the show has shown a child getting eaten or killed. Usually they cut away.
Well, it's like they kept having these damn conversations, and I kept thinking, why are they not like getting? why are none of the zombies like coming after them? And then it's like boom! All of a sudden, it's like turned on.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they didn't pull him along, because he's 10. Just yank him around. But
pick him up, cover his mouth.
No, I would have knocked that fucking kid out.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to save the kid, knock him out. He might recover, and then we should not give anybody zombie food. But anyway,
Carol is once again
for the
back.
Record. Starzord and I not having children. Please don't write to the management.
No, we
won't do that to our children or your children out either.
No.
Unless you take them to Deadpool. So
Then we'll knock them out for their safety. No, yours.
That's right.
So Carol, once again a badass, kills the wolf. The last one.
Well, but she sort of like got him killed, you know what I mean?
Well, she did get him killed, and so what?
I mean, I've only seen two episodes.
Yeah,
so
I'm not deeply
invested.
Only saw the lighter side of that guy.
Yeah,
so.
I guess. That's true. So I was like, well, he saved the other girl, the doctor.
But that's only because he needed a doctor.
He was kidnapping her, though, yeah.
So, but...
Did you see the after The Walking Dead, the show, Talking Dead?
I didn't see Talking Dead.
So, yeah, the wolf guy is, of course, Australian. Of course, he looks like the biggest hick and talks like the and I'm like, you filmed this fucking thing in Georgia. You can go to any trailer and pick up the exact guy you need.
I know.
And they keep getting these foreign actors and just knock them
out. We were all like, he's foreign. And then his name was Benedict. We're like, totally foreign. We kept thinking English, though, or whatever. And then he's all like, hello.
Hey, mate.
Let's get another chimp on a bomb.
Yeah. I was like, there's no... Those poor Georgia hicks have no work.
Want me in your zombie thing?
I think they use all them for actual zombies. Because those guys at the cons, they're all
zombies.
They all look like meth heads. I'm like, oh my God. Put the zombie makeup on, please. Holy shit.
Do you need makeup
to
be
horrible, yeah.
So the people of Alexandria... get together and kill all the zombies.
Woo.
This is deviating from the book quite a bit, though, because Daryl does kill all of Negan's advance party there.
Yeah.
That was pretty badass.
I didn't see that coming
once
at
again,
all.
No.
I was like, they're fucked.
Once again, the show read my mind, because I'm sitting there thinking, you guys are badasses. Just fucking kill these people. Daryl, why aren't you? Boom. Thank you, Daryl. I'm fine now, because he just blows them all up.
Yeah.
And then what's his name had that best line after that? Chew on this. Chew on that. It's just like, fuck it. I was dying. I was like, that's
awful. So,
oh, God.
My only quibble with this one was when... two things. Oh. I had two quibbles.
Oh, my God.
One, Glenn once again coming so close to death.
I thought he was done. He was up against that fence. I was like, that's it.
And then they're spraying bullets everywhere. I'm like, how did you
That's
not
what I thought. I'm like, how did he...
Yeah.
I felt like he was just going to get shot.
Yeah.
You know?
So,
are they really that... great at, you know, like,
no,
fucking American
all headshots.
You can't be with those.
Yeah.
So, like, that was, like, kind of, oh, come on. And then thing was Daryl with the grenade launcher lighting the lake on fire. I'm like, dude, you have a fucking lighter. It's like, you don't need to fire
it. Well, it's not as dramatic if you just take
not
a lighter.
Not as cool. Yeah.
So.
That's his weapon of choice for the episode.
How many of those things does he have? I mean, come on, save them for the bad guys. But it does, we haven't seen Negan yet.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like we're going to see him next week either. But
I hope it's the last episode.
If it's the last episode and Negan comes in as Negan did in the comic book, I really don't think they're going to do what they did in the comic book. Spoilers to anyone who hasn't read the comic book, but I don't think they're going to kill Glenn. I'm teasing.
Yeah, because he would have already showed up at this. Negan would have, other than just the mention of him, he would have actually been on the scene.
I think the whole almost killing Glenn here and almost killing Glenn there, it's like, you're not going to tease us like that and then kill him off. I think he's going to kill off another character.
I hope so, yeah. Anyway. I like Glenn at this point.
So do I.
He's had a great journey.
Guy that Carol fought with at the end of the last...
That's who I think they're going to do.
Like, he's so annoying.
Oh, I fucking love Morgan.
So do I. I like the character of Morgan, but Morgan's we have to save everybody mentality, it doesn't fit with this world, and I have a feeling that he's going to be the one that...
But he kind of turned when he killed the wolf.
But the wolf was a zombie.
I know, but still, it was like... But that's still for him, it was like a big kind of moment.
I like the way that the episode went, though, because, like, when the main guy, what's his name?
Rick.
When Rick was like pissed off and like went outside, I was like, this stupid motherfucker. They're all inside now. Like and then it turned out to be like badass or whatever. And I noticed there's a hot guy on the show, so I was excited about that.
Which is the hot guy?
He was the guy that was with, I think he was in the infirmary.
Was he in plaid?
Oh, he was Aaron. It was Aaron, yeah. The clean guy, the cleanest guy that they had.
The guy that he was on One Tree Hill for a while.
I don't watch One Tree Hill. If it's Aaron, he's gay.
No, it's not the gay guy. It's the other good-looking guy. It's the other dumb one.
Yeah, okay. The one that I thought, okay, the person whose name I don't know is going to die in this fight, and he ended up not dying. I was like,
is he wearing a red undershirt? What's going on?
Yeah, he's hot.
Oh, and then, of course, spoiler, Carl.
Oh, Carl's got his eye shot out.
Good for him.
Which happens in the comic
book. Good for him.
Yeah.
We were all like, what? What happened?
So that does happen. It happens differently in the comic book. But
still the eye.
That was just a lot of shit to go down in like a minute. It was like, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, now let's go. Oh shit, you just got your eye shot.
And the way
they
cut it between Daryl's group and that group, it was perfect, because I was like, oh my god, they're both... This is some heavy shit, kids.
So I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
A couple of quibbles, but mostly just like, oh come on.
I gotta talk X-Files real quick, though. I only liked about a third of this episode. And to be honest, so far, I've only liked about a third of the series so far, which I'm a little bit in it. The thing I like is that one episode we talked about...
The werewolf.
Meet the werewolf.
The whale monster.
Yeah, so they've got a lot to do in the last episode of this thing.
I didn't mind last week's episode. I haven't seen this week's. With her mom in the coma. That one was okay for me.
It was just okay, though.
This is nostalgia. All these characters... All these, they still haven't brought back the cigarette man or the cigarette smoking man again, which
I'm sure it's going to be
in the last episode. They're supposed to bring back the lone gunman in the next couple of episodes.
He was in the one last night. They were in the one last night.
Okay.
It's a cool way they did it. It wasn't beyond reality too much. So
are they like the two biggest villains or whatever?
No, the lone gunmen are actual conspiracy theorists that help Mulder on the show. And...
They got their own series.
They got their own
series. And then they came
briefly. Back and they killed them. They came back on the X-Files and then they supposedly killed them.
Yeah.
Cigarette Smoking Man was the main baddie.
Which I still want to see how they did that. But
I do want to see how they brought him back because he exploded. He done exploded. I don't know how they... Yes.
But Lauren Ambrose was on the one last night is basically the new Scully. The younger Scully.
Then Robbie, the girl from 6 Feet Under?
Yeah. Oh. And then Robbie Amiel
was the younger Mulder.
Mulder. And they did a good job. And it was that third that I really liked. But the rest of it, it was like these speeches. They were trying to get all philosophical. And I was like, you guys, it just, I don't know. It was okay acting, but it wasn't like, I didn't believe it like I used to believe the old series when they would break off in these
things.
And
I think that's the problem.
Just really weird.
I think it seems like neither of the two leads are really, really happy to be there.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah, David Duchovny was especially bored last night. And I was like, why are you here? I mean, but again, I have to say, the Were Man episode completely is worth doing the six episodes. So it's like,
it's worth the six episodes for that particular episode.
But anyway, yeah.
And not just for Rhys Darby. I think that was actually a very good X-Files episode.
Yeah.
So,
what next? So, did you hear about Ride with Norman?
No.
Yeah, so AMC is doing this motorcycle travel series.
Oh, with Norman Reedus, yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty fucking cool. So it's just six episodes, and they go town to town, and it's sort of like a travel show and food show, so he'll be like eating like wings at a dive bar, getting tattoos, and...
Yeah.
But he's a good guy to do that, because he's actually rides motorcycles.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman did a show similar to this, where they... basically drove across Africa, and then they drove across Asia, or they motorcycled across Asia. That was actually an interesting show. It wasn't a foodie show, though. That was mostly just a travelogue. It's kind of like Michael Palin's traveling around the world type things. But they rode motorcycles. That was actually quite interesting. I'll take a look at that. I'll take a look at Norman Reedus.
And then this sounds pretty interesting. AMC, again, kind of just grabbing people they already have working for them, giving them another show. Kevin Smith and then Greg Grunberg, the guy from Heroes, and he's going to be...
from Felicity!
He was in Star Wars, The Force Awakens, he was the new Porkins.
But most notably Felicity!
And Felicity, sure. But Sean! They're doing a show called Geeking Out, and it's basically, the way Kevin Smith described it, I hope it turns out like this, it'll be later this summer, it's basically like a Entertainment Tonight for geeks.
Oh, cool.
And it's just a half-hour show, and they just rap about geeky stuff. And I think, based off Comic Book Man, I think that's a pretty cool...
Yeah.
You know, if it's an hour, I think it might be a little too long.
Yeah, Comic Book Man is 30 minutes, and I think that works well.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
They stole our story.
Well, a show that I've discovered that I'm kind of hooked on now is Drunk History.
Yeah, talk about this.
This is where these two guys travel from town to town, and they get people to tell historical stories about the local town. They do Baltimore, New York, Hawaii.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they get the people drunk before they tell the story, start telling the story. So.
Oh my God.
The stories are completely true. The storytellers are completely drunk, and it's actually very funny. And what they do is they'll have actors come in and act out the scenes that the people are telling.
Oh my God.
So you have like Adam Scott as John Wilkes Booth just acting out this drunk person's dialogue. but these people, there's lots of vomiting on their show because they are actually drunk. And then a lot of people lying on the floor telling stories. So it's my new thing. I kind of like it. I had a request to have a drunk story panel at Con Carolinas. I don't think we can do that though, because I don't think legally we can get away with getting people drunk.
Although most people are at certain times of night.
People are anyway. After like 10. We'd have to do that privately and film it. And then who knows what happens. Yeah. So, but
we could play Geek Pong.
Scary.
Beer Geek.
Beer Geek.
Beer Trivia.
How about Hulu last night? 11/22/63.
This debuted on Hulu last night, based on the Stephen King book. Stars James Franco and Chris Cooper. I like this. I like the book. I really did like the book. I think it's one of King's best. It's not a scary, scary story. So it's not going to be The Shining or Carrie or even The Stand Stephen King. This is a bit more dramatic and creepy. But guy discovers a portal back to 1960 in the closet of a diner, his
like
friend's diner.
Yep.
That'll happen.
Sure.
And his friend convinces him that he needs to go back and stay back in 1960, because every time he comes back through the portal, it's only 2 minutes ahead in our time.
Wow.
And when he goes back through to 60, it's the exact same time. So... his friend convinces him to go back, stay there for 3 years, and assassinate Lee Harvey Oswald prior to the assassination of John F. Kennedy and try and change the world for the better. But the past doesn't like to be changed, so whenever he tries to change something, the past pushes back.
Keep trying to kill him, right?
Yeah,
quite
basically.
Violently, yeah.
So my only hesitation with this is that it's 8 hours long. It's an 8-hour show, and this is not a really thick book, and this is going to drag a little bit, I have a feeling.
So I've read, I have not watched the show, but I've read like a couple different reviews of it, and I personally happen to be quite a fan of James Franco.
I like him.
But in the show, there's been like descending sort of reviews in the sense that in the sense that like one person's like, James Franco is the show, kind of a thing, and then there's like some like another one that's like, he is like sort of at the Oscars, like he's bored, he doesn't seem like he's really present in the show.
I think he's
present. I think it's a pretty good James Franco performance.
And I think the other star, I think really it's just the time period. Right, yeah. I mean, all the cars, the costuming, the
actual,
on point,
yeah, and the actual 1960, is
amazing.
They're doing a really good job showing that time period.
And James Franco was trying to get the rights to this book to develop and produce it, but J.J. Abrams beat him to it.
Yeah.
So I think J.J. Abrams was like, "Oh, well, do you want to be in it? You want to be the character or what?" But
does Greg Grunberg? Gunberg show up at any point?
I don't. He hasn't yet.
Okay.
Who knows though?
That's like J.J. Abrams' like best friend, so
yeah.
It is actually really.
Well, he was in Heroes. That was a J.J. Abrams thing.
Yeah, and Felicity. He was Sean. In case I hadn't mentioned that.
Was he in Felicity?
He was.
What character?
Sean.
What is this Felicity that you speak of? Is it a spinoff of Gilmore Girls?
No.
Was it about a Russian spy?
It was a prequel to Alias, sort of.
Okay. So about Game of Thrones?
Oh. I actually haven't watched it. Let's put this on.
Oh, I mean the trailer.
The trailer.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. I actually watched it because you wanted me to put it on there. And I was like, okay.
So I meant to watch it today.
It made no sense to me, but it was.
Yeah, I'll watch it. We'll discuss that next week.
Alrighty.
What you got?
Sorry about that. What else we got?
You still addicted to
the hidden
games?
Object? Were you just playing a hidden object game?
No.
Okay.
But I played one last night. It was kind of disturbing though, because I've gone into the realm of hidden objects where they've. So most of the hidden object games are animated. And you walk into these elaborate pictures where they have all these objects that you're trying to find. So there'll be a ruler that's the same color as the curtain, and you have to kind of be able to detect it. Uh-huh. I'll be honest, my eyes are getting old. I'm at that point where I either have to have the glasses on top of my head if I'm trying to look at something close up, or on my, you know, on the front of my head if I'm trying to watch something far away. So for me, it takes me a little bit longer. But there are scenes in between where to move the plot along there, you know, there's animation. Some of the games that I've been playing lately have live action video embed, so it will actually have these little video scenes, kind of like the old PC games used to be. And Leah Thompson from Back to the Future and Caroline in the City and many other things. she was one of the characters in one of my hidden object games, and I was just like, I wonder how much they pay her to be in there.
Well, she was in Left Behind. She must be hurting for work.
She was a psychic, not card reader, auto drawer, where they like sit and sketch things. And so she would sketch things. And part of my job in the game was to actually take these little pictures and line them up, because they're just scraps of a picture with certain places. So it was quite interesting to have her in there. They really did a bad job on the photography though, because she looks like she has this huge Adam's apple the whole time. And it's just sad. I've decided I don't like the live action ones, because a lot of these hidden object games will have some kind of a horror element to it. One of them was very much like Saw, where this guy kept appearing on the screen and telling you, and you're trying to save this guy, which is like, by the time I got done with these hidden jobs, these guys would be so dead. But anyway, so I'm not always a fan of that. And a lot of times they do the scare tactic where you're like, you click on a room and something comes out and goes, wah! But when it's the live action, there was... one of the games that I was playing was, I was trying to rescue four teens. And they're like, you walk into the room and they're in this comatose state. And they're like, I am the farmer. I am the farmer.
Oh my goodness.
I am the farmer. And I'm like, I just got to find the object to get out of this room. So,
But
I did save them all. I saved them all. Okay, I'm not going crazy.
Did you read any books?
I did not.
Did you read any books, Carol?
No. I'm far behind. I was rereading my Tank Girl collection, so.
Oh, nice. Did you read any books, Stephanie?
I did.
Emma?
I am continuing to read that for the 85th time, but I read a couple other books, but nothing that I would want to reveal here. Just
is that your favorite Austen book?
Huh?
Is that your favorite Austen
book? No, Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice is.
Weirdly followed by Northanger Abbey. I love Northanger Abbey.
Northanger Abbey is actually pretty good.
I agree. People hate it, but I like it a lot.
I prefer Bronte. I prefer Jane Eyre. I hate Wuthering Heights. I can't stand Wuthering Heights. Heathcliff and Catherine, just go suck a dick.
It drags to me. I just don't like it.
Just ninnies, and you want to smack each and every one of them. It's like Romeo and Juliet.
It's kind of like, I will say Wuthering Heights to me, sort of, I liken it to, what is that movie? With Brett...
Rhett Butler's Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. Like, I watched that movie and everyone's like, oh, Gone with the Wind kind of thing. And I was, at the end, I was like, that woman is such a fucking cunt. How anyone would ever love her.
If you ever doubted our explicit rating, you shouldn't take your kids to Deadpool or have them listen
we're
to this
podcast. We're the Deadpool podcast. That's right.
For the mommies in the group that are listening on their radio, we're so sorry.
I totally agree, though. I hated Scarlett O'Hara.
She was awful.
From the moment that movie
like
started,
nothing
I was like,
lovable about her.
I don't like you at all. And Melanie was just this mealy-mouthed little ninny. And I'm like, God, the only decent character in this whole damn movie is Rhett Butler.
Yeah. And you can't be like, why do you love her? She's a fucking bitch. Like,
which is why he left her.
I guess.
So. Spoiler alert.
But then, you know, they wrote the stupid sequel where they got back together.
Yeah, did they? Oh, I never saw that.
It was a dumb sequel.
There's no Gone with the Wind 2. There's no Roadhouse 2. How many times do we have to go over this? Know.
Well, somebody wrote it, and they actually
it's called
did
Scarlet.
It's called, yeah, and they did a miniseries, I think.
Was
yeah,
it Madness?
And they did this huge nationwide television search for Scarlet and announced it. This is the problem with our people. Because you do that, you set it up for failure. Just like announcing that Capaldi was the next Doctor set him up for failure. But, you know, everything revolves around Doctor Who in my life.
Oh, so anyway, moving on. The funny thing about Scarlet, going back to that.
Yes, let's go back to that.
I've actually read the book Gone with the Wind, too.
Okay.
But I was in a conversation with these ladies, and they're saying, well, I was reading Scarlet, and it's just stupid, because in this book, she's got three kids. And I'm like, she never had three kids. I'm like, yeah, in the book Gone with the Wind, she had a kid for every husband. Just Bonnie died. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm going by the movie. The movie is the epitome.
She didn't have any kids, like, right? Or did she?
She had one. She had one with Rhett. Okay. That's the little girl that died in the horse accident.
I don't remember that well. I just remember like being like, what the fuck was this movie? Like at the end I was like,
it was
why
the
did
one redemptive thing about her was that she gave him
Bonnie.
Yeah.
And then after that she was like, I'm not even gonna have sex with you anymore because I don't want to ruin my figure. And then, but she had three husbands, and she had a kid with each husband in the book. Mm. But they're all like, well, the movie she didn't. I'm like, read a fucking book.
Just read a fucking book.
I could buy the movie. Any other
Either way.
What's
that's the thing that's interesting, is like, doesn't it work the way where it's like, I can't claim to have read every book prior to seeing a film or a miniseries or a show, but it's like, if you really love the source material, you go back and read. Like, I want the gaps filled in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, you might discover something you don't like, but ultimately, if you really love that world, you want to explore it more.
And then, of course, you get The Hobbit, where you watch all three movies, and you go back and read the book, and you go, well, where's that chick Tariel?
Where's Smaug?
Smaug's in the book.
I don't see any fog coming up there.
It's coming out of his mouth.
You know what I'm really mad about?
About you? What?
Tariel is a Funko Pop, but Arwen is not.
It'd be the same damn Funko Pop.
Brown hair instead of red.
Yeah.
Because I needed an Arwen Funko for my wedding plans. But anyway, moving on. But Dobby's coming out soon.
Says K9. Did you
see that? I know, but yes, I did. Super cute. I did. So cute. And I got, for Valentine's Day, I got the Ninth Doctor with a banana. And I got Rose in the Union Jack shirt, which was actually her favorite outfit that I liked. Because that's the episode with Jack Harkness, but that's beside the point.
I hate Rose.
I know you hate Rose, but get over it. Okay. Damn. All right, Arrow, the one thing that drives all these shows is...
Oh, yes. This episode of Arrow, and I think it was either Carol, you or Joey, I can't remember who, but you said, like, in every show, like, it's something, like, that a character hides or won't tell the truth about, and then it haunts them, sometimes it's like six episodes or a next season over, this huge thing happens. And so what happens? Like, Arrow has this kid, and he hasn't told his now wife, almost wife, Felicity. And Felicity Smokes. And yeah, Felicity Smokes, the character.
Amazing crossover that would
be. Yeah, that'd be crazy. Doesn't tell her. And it comes out, and now the bad guy knows about Merlin, basically tells this villain about it. So it's like this whole thing, and it's like I can see where it's all going. The whole season's just gonna crumble. It's Empire Strikes Back of Arrow, which is tough to do, but it's coming. But it's like, yeah, like you guys were talking about, it's just like, just tell somebody right away when something bad happens. Yeah. Deal with it immediately. It won't be half as bad. But if you just let it fester for a season or whatever, oh, that's horrible. Yeah, it will be horrible. Horrible.
Just let it all
consequences.
Out.
Yeah.
But a lot of these movies just wouldn't be made. A lot of these sitcoms would not happen if people were just open
and just and honest
and talk to each other. It's just like The Firm. I rant about this all the time. Hate the movie. Love John Grisham books. Hated The Firm because why? The initial premise is Tom Cruise cheated on his wife while he was out in Hawaii, and so that's what they held against him and got him to sign to work for the firm. And then he's, you know, realizes how evil they are and tries to outsmart them, and then they go after and tell his wife about the affair, and so then she doesn't believe him. Shithead, you should have never slept with a girl. Yeah. Thanks. Moving on.
Or just be honest.
Just be honest, yeah.
Or just be honest and come back and say, honey, I fucked up. Mm-hmm. And let the chips fall where they may. Be a big boy, pull up your big boy pants and go on.
Or small boy pants in the case of Tom Cruise.
You told me I'm not allowed to say small.
For Tom Cruise, you can't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Small boy pants. Okay. Short people.
Yeah. But man, he is clear. He is so clear, and he's seventh level Thetan, and Xenu is going to save his ass.
Yikes.
Okay.
Don't sue with Scientology. Yeah.
So, geeking out.
We did that.
You're under.
Yeah. Star Wars. The filming.
Oh, they started filming episode 8.
That should be 8, not 7.
Yeah. Well, that's
we're looking at our page.
That's why I said 8. Yeah. If you're playing along on this sheet, no. They added Benicio del Toro because they probably saw him under contract. Disney probably already had him under contract for the Avengers stuff. Laura Dern. Interesting. And Kelly Marie Tran? I don't know her.
I don't know her.
Great, good for them, though. But anyway.
I'd love to see Laura Dern as a Jedi. That'd be cool.
Yeah. But they showed...
Laura Dern as Rey's mom. That would work, actually.
Yeah. But they showed the first scene, and they started right at the island where we left off with episode 7. So anyway.
Yeah, I love it. Benicio del Toro redid his Fester character from... The Usual Suspects.
Oh man, that was a great performance.
Darth Vader, I flip you. Flip you good.
You know, I've never seen that movie, and because I don't like Gabriel Byrne.
How can you not like Gabriel Byrne?
And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to admit on air the stupid reason that I do not like Gabriel Byrne, and it literally comes down to, I was a teenage girl watching Little Women, and I always felt that he stole Joe from... Christian Bale, and watching this movie I go, who in the fuck would turn down Christian Bale and go with that old Irish motherfucker? And there was something in my teenage mind, I could not understand that this was a movie and he was playing a part. I hated Gabriel Byrne, and to this day with a fiery passion I'm like, Gabriel Byrne, I hate thee, that kind of thing. To the point that I could never see Usual Suspects because I like literally boycott everything that he's in.
That's just bizarre.
I agree. There
is no way that Joe would have stayed married.
He was hot in my mind.
Who cares?
I was I was a teenage girl, and to me, that's all that I was like.
And then he marries her sister.
Yeah, I mean, that was effed up, but I'm just saying.
This has been a really weird episode of this podcast. We covered it all, I think.
Your teenage brain is scrambled by hotness.
Your teenage brain was completely not baffled by the fact that Kristen Dunst turned into what's-her-face. What's her name? God.
Samantha Mathis.
Samantha Mathis, who looks nothing like Kristen Dunst.
Well, I mean, I understood that they were actors. I didn't think it was real life.
Oh, but you don't understand poor Gabriel Byrne.
Gabriel Byrne. Fuck you.
Wow. That's a grudge.
That's harsh. I loved Gabriel Byrne.
So do I. Man, put him in a priest cassock and... Oh, yeah. I'd be a naughty nun.
Alrighty.
And on that note,
that's all we got, I think.
I think this is like
I don't know what else we could possibly talk about.
It's just the Twilight Zone episode of Guardians of the Geekery, where we talk about Jane Austen and Louisa May Alcott, and Siri doesn't know what the first PG-13 movie is.
You're stupid, Siri.
What the fuck? Okay.
And I'll probably go and see Hail Caesar and end up in some other
50 Shades of Black.
I've seen 50 Shades of Grey.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery.
For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com.
Find us on Facebook
at
facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery.
Go see 50 Shades of Grey.
At CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Gilstofte. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
Yeah.